Raising the Bets is brought to you by the StarQuest Production Network and is made possible by our many generous patrons. If you'd like to support the podcast, please visit sqpn.com/give. You're listening to Raising the Bets, a family podcast of pirates and penguins. We're a Catholic couple raising five kids outside of Boston. Join us as we share the joys and challenges of marriage, homeschool, and our adventures near and far as we make sense of the world and experience the best parts of our culture. I'm Dom Bettinelli.
And I'm Melanie Bettinelli.
So it's been another week, and the second week of Advent has begun. We've Indeed. Got two candles.
Two purple candles.
Yes.
Yay!
The inordinate excitement that children express that now there are two candles that are lit on the table at dinner, not just one. So we learned, what was it, just last year, that it's so much better to get pillar candles than it is to do tapers.
Yeah, I think we mentioned that.
Yeah, we probably did mention that last time. Just the, oh, how much better it is. Although the pillar candles, what is it with pillar candles that burn the interior down and you get these giant walls that rise up around it and you got to carve it off? I don't know. It's like, it's very strange. I think that's why some pillars have multiple wicks.
Probably.
Yeah. At least it's not draining all over the table.
It's not making a mess.
We've had that before. That. Yeah. So I probably should give an update on my thumb. We don't have any thumb bumper music. What would be good thumb music? I don't know. I'm pretty good at making bumpers, but I'm not sure I could come up with a thumb bumper mix.
No.
Anyway, for those of you who don't remember, last week I told the tale of I cut the tip of my thumb off while I was cooking. And it wasn't like the worst cut ever. It's not like I took, above the knuckle or something, but it just wouldn't stop bleeding. So we ended up going to urgent care and I had to get the chemical cauterization and the whole shebang. And then I had to deal with that stupid Band-Aid for, I think I put up with it for like 4 days. I went from having the big wrap to just having the Band-Aid, and then I just gave up on the Band-Aid. And so it's been bare since then, and it's getting better. I can actually use my thumb now, which is good. Like the thing that was driving me crazy was trying to work the trackpad on my computer with the side of my thumb with this big honking, wad of fabric essentially in the way. So joy's there. I'm getting feeling back, although it does hurt still.
It takes so long for those things to.
Yeah. Yeah. And especially as you get old, and then things just stop getting better. They stop healing. Like when you're young, you're like, oh, I lost a limb. I'll regrow it next week. You have these incredible recuperative powers. And then you get old and it's like, why does that still hurt? It's been 2 months since I tweaked my back. But it's getting better. The thumb is getting better. One of the things I was worried about with being down a thumb was, and I think I mentioned this last week because it was impending, was the snow. We had a snowstorm that came in. We had a first round of snow Sunday. So I think we talked a little about that last time. But then we had a second round of snow that came in on Monday, and we got more snow on that one.
We got a lot of snow.
Yeah.
Like almost 8 inches, maybe?
Was it 8? I thought it maybe 6. 6.
Something like that.
6 inches wet snow, so not fluffy. So if you're not from snow places, you know, there's different kinds of snow. There's not just snow. Yeah. So if you have dry snow, it's fluffy. It tends to be deeper because dry snow is fluffier. And it doesn't weigh anything because it's very dry. There's no water content to it, which can make it a pain in the neck to shovel because you pick up a whole shovel full of it and you throw it and it just like you've blown a dandelion. It just settles there. So that can be annoying. Then the opposite extreme is very wet snow, which it's like it's very dense and it's like a snow cone. And you like a shovel full weighs as much as a child. I mean, it's just like, a shovel full is like 40 pounds.
Wet. I'll take the dry snow any day over the wet.
Well, there's a reason they call shovel, heavy, wet snow, heart attack snow. Because guys my age are dropping dead trying to shovel their driveways. doing that.
But fortunately, we have now reached the stage of
helpful children
parenting where, yes, we have a 13-year-old, an 11-year-old, and a 10-year-old. And yes, the 8 and 6-year-old are still not all that helpful, although they actually do try, which is nice.
Yes.
But the three oldest are actually effective at moving snow.
Yes. And so what happened on Monday when I got out there was my snowblower. I have a snowblower because, you know, that's a logical thing to do. It wouldn't start this season. I've got to bring it to the guy or get the guy to come out to look at it, the small engine guy. I'm sure the plugs are gunked or the carburetor or whatnot. It's a constant battle on it. But so in lieu of that, I had to go out and shovel. So the end of the driveway gets packed in because as the plow comes by, all that snow that covers the street, that 6-inch deep across the street snow, all gets pushed to the side. And so you end up in the end of your driveway. So 6 inches of snow means a foot and a half at the end of the driveway. Of heavy, wet snow. So I got out there, and you had an appointment? No, you had to go to the store. We needed groceries.
We were out of groceries.
Yeah, so.
Really out of groceries.
And this is New England. If you can't get to the store, it's 6 inches of snow. It's not like, you know, that's not, I can't go to the store snow. And you've lived here long enough, 20 years.
It will be 20 years this summer, yes.
This coming summer, it will have been 20 years. That you've lived here long enough that, you know, you're a New Englander.
I am not at all scared of driving
right
when there's snow is falling.
Because they get the streets plowed and that sort of stuff. I mean, you know, once you get on the main street, it's fine. But I had to get that end of the driveway clear because you can't get a car through it. So I went out there and I did the end of the driveway because I knew that the kids wouldn't be able to handle that. But I came in and I said, all right, here you go. I've got to go work. I had to come and record podcasts. And I said, now this is up to you guys. And I didn't know what I would find when I came back out again. I'll be honest. I thought I was going to have to go out there and do the rest of it. But they did it. They did the driveway.
I am not surprised.
I mean, not perfectly, not up to like with a standard I would like to keep, but they did really good.
As a wise mother once said, you need a huge part of parenting is that you need to accept imperfect help.
Well, yeah.
Because the only way for them to learn is to do it badly.
Well, no, I get right. that. Yeah, I get yeah. that. In fact, I was giving them some pointers that when they shovel, they need to shovel all the way up to, like, to the trash barrels. Because on Thursday, I had to put the barrels out, and I had to drag them up over the snowbank.
And then when I put them back on Friday...
Yeah, you had to drag them up over the snow.
Yeah, it was a little bit of a challenge. At least they were empty when I was trying to put them back.
Yes, yes, that's the easier path.
Yes.
So, but I was just excited, and I mean the interesting thing is, so I'm 51. Most guys I went to school with, their kids are like out of college, or many of the guys. I don't want to say most. Many of my high school friends, their kids are in college now, or are graduated from college.
Right.
You know, I'm a late bloomer when it comes to families. So a lot of my friends, their kids were helping them when they were 40. I'm getting the help now when I'm 50. So luckily I survived long enough.
Take it when you can get it.
I'm happy to have it now. I'm happy to have it. So.
And the nice benefit of this is that the time outside is so good for the kids. They're so much less cranky. They're sleeping better at night. They're eating better. Like everything just seems better when they got outside. And you know, it's easy to forget. Like we had a very long, wet October and a very long, not cold November. And
we had a very long, cold November.
Yes, cold.
Yeah, you said not cold, but you changed gears, changed direction in the middle of your sentence.
No, November was cold.
Yes, it was cold
and we spent,
unpleasant.
Yeah, we did not get outside much. We spent most of October and November like in the house.
Yep.
And we've gotten out of the habit of like going to the park, going on hikes, going on walks, and it's just like sort of slowly, like you kind of sets in and it's cold outside. You don't want to go outside. Oh, and everyone complains when I suggest they go outside. It's cold. I don't want to put on my coat and my boots and my hat and my gloves and my scarf.
And I'm bored.
But the magic is that once there's snow on the ground, then suddenly everybody wants to go outside again.
Right.
Like they want to put on their snow pants and their coats and their boots and their gloves and their hats and their mittens and
especially
everything else, because
in the first big snow. Yeah. Like the first big snow, they want to go out and they want to shovel it and they want to make snowman and they want to make snow forts and they make a sled and hill. We have this gentle little slope of our tiny yard. Like not tiny, but we don't have a big yard. It's 30 feet. Gentle slope, and they make it into a sled slope. They sled down. Of course, I'm glad there's a little bit of a berm at the end because they'd slide right into the street. That would be bad.
It's not. I mean, we're talking like 4 feet high or something. It's not a huge sled
right.
sledding run.
Yeah,
but it's enough that they can get some momentum and have fun.
And yeah, they do have fun with it. And you hit the nail on the head. In fact, my brother was saying, who has four boys, the thing that boys need is they need exercise. They need to get outside, especially once they reach around 8, 9, 10, 11. They need to be out doing things, like getting themselves tired, working up a sweat. You know, we're sitting here watching the football game today, and Anthony is bouncing next to me like he's got a spring in his legs. I mean, he's just I've got energy and I've got to get it out. I'm like, oh my gosh, child, stop, you're making me tired. But they need to get outside and do and make themselves tired and wear themselves out, and they're happy when they've done that,
right?
And as older guys, I forget how much I needed that when I was their age. And they don't realize they need it. That's the other thing.
And that's the hard part is trying to get them to help them to make the connection between, like, you feel better when you've been outside. You're less bored. You feel more energetic, all that stuff.
Right.
You're happier.
Right. I mean, the girls like it too, but there's a boy thing that's going on in that. So that was our snow day. We still have snow on the ground. Which is kind of remarkable for December right here.
In fact, we were reading a book that was set in Massachusetts this week, one of the kids' school books. And it's an unusual year, and they've had like three big snowstorms in December, and they're like snowed in. And the kids are like, that doesn't happen. We don't get big snowstorms in December. And then, of course, this week, we were reading that this week, and we've had snow on the ground all week, which is really unusual for this time of year
right.
around here.
In Boston, like New England, like New Hampshire, Maine, Vermont, they get snow early and they keep snow on the ground. But the Boston area, because I think the proximity to the ocean and the currents, we get like a bit of snow, it falls, it melts. We do not get very many storms, and it certainly doesn't stick around. But this year, like for this week, we got snow. I mean, it's except for what's about to happen next week, and I'll tell you in a second, it would have been like, this is like stick around snow. This snow has been here for all week. Now tomorrow, well, today was like 50 something. Tomorrow, today wasn't 50 something. Today was cold.
Not.
I'm sorry. Tomorrow is going to be in the 50s. Tuesday, the forecast is for a high of 61. Which
that,
is remarkable.
That will get rid of all the snow.
I mean, the low this morning was 14. It's also going to rain, so all this snow is going to go away. We're going to have yucky piles of slush by the end of Tuesday, pretty much. I don't know if we get snow. We get there's like a possibility of snow on Wednesday morning, so that'd be nice. It's an unusual amount of snow early in the season. We'll see how it goes. Frankly, I do not want a repeat of 2015 where it was snow after snow after snow after snow, and I was going crazy. So hopefully
we were all going crazy.
Yeah. Hopefully we can avoid that one again. So then later in the week we had, it was December 6th. Friday was December 6th, which is St. Nicholas Day, which is a big day around here. We talked about that a little bit before.
Yeah. So,
how'd that go?
It went really well. Had some last minute, like, pull-throughs, and everybody got wool packages of wool socks. They were very happy to have warm feet for the snow. And they got chocolate Santas and
the required chocolate coins,
of course, always excited when those come through.
What did Lucy get because of her allergies?
Lucy got a, there's a, I didn't even remember what the brand is. It's a milk chocolate, but it's a rice milk chocolate with like crunch, like almost like a Nestle Crunch sort of thing.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But with nothing that she can't eat in it. And then she also got some chocolate covered chickpeas, which sounds really weird, but they're like roasted chickpeas. They're dipped in dark chocolate, and she really likes them a lot.
So are they kind of like peanut M&Ms?
Not really.
Oh, okay.
Not, in fact, really, no.
No, really not at all like no. that.
Nothing like it. But they've got a kind of a satisfying crunch to them, and there's chocolate, and she likes them.
Of course, there was also another treat for St. Nicholas Day.
I also made cinnamon buns.
They're really good.
I don't know. I think Thanksgiving, like, I haven't been baking much bread. It seemed to go through cycles, and I hadn't done any baking really over the summer or the fall. But I baked challah for Thanksgiving, and that was just like, it sort of clicked on in my brain. I can bake bread now.
Well, I think part of it was you've been baking muffins for Lucy to eat.
I have been baking a lot of muffins, so I guess I think, been in a muffin baking sort of phase.
And some quick breads you've made. But I think that's sort of the slog of making these muffins on a constant basis probably was deterring you from doing some of this other baking that you like
also,
to do.
But also, like, bread baking, you kind of have to, like, because it's got a couple rises, you have to sort of be home. And you have to be like uninterrupted time. As it was, like, baking the cinnamon rolls, I was sort of like, I'm reading to the kids, we're having school time, and then I have to say, okay, pause, I've got to go, like, roll up the cinnamon buns.
Right.
So there is that, like, it's disruptive a little bit to the school day. And yeah. I haven't quite figured out, like, now that we've got 5 kids who are all school age, trying to squeeze bread baking in, it's not as easy as it was when there was only 1 or 2 of them who were school aged.
Right,
like,
right.
Every kid adds like that much more to the day. But yeah, cinnamon buns they're actually pretty easy. It's just like regular bread dough, except when you get to do after you mixed it up and you let it rise. Then when you get to the second rise, you like roll it all out and you put butter on it and you sprinkle cinnamon sugar on it, and then you roll it up and you cut it. And then it does the second rise in the pan, like as rolls.
Yeah. And then you made a new kind of, instead of a regular glaze, you made a sort of frosting.
Oh, yeah. I found online, I don't even remember how I found it, but it was a cream cheese frosting. So it was like cream cheese and a little bit of butter. And then I added some fresh orange zest to it and some vanilla. And some powdered sugar. And so you like mix that up. And it was kind of like creamy and orangey. It doesn't taste sour like cream cheese because there was enough sugar and orange juice in it. But it was just, it was really pleasant.
It was really good. It was like I could just eat this like as a cheesecake.
In the past, I've just done a sugar glaze, like just mixed powdered sugar with some orange juice and then drizzled it on top. But I really like the cream cheese.
Oh, yeah.
So much better.
Well, and I was saying, like, these flavors, the orange and what was it? The orange and cinnamon would make a great cheesecake.
It could be a good cheesecake.
I think someone should do that. But I think someone,
hint,
should do that.
But when I make cinnamon buns, I actually make it with like half whole wheat flour. So it's
a health food.
It's like a hearty cinnamon roll. So this had cream cheese and it had whole wheat bread.
And cream cheese is protein.
Right. So it's almost, dairy. I mean, this is like something that's
health food.
I don't know if it's healthy, but
I'm not sure my doctor would agree.
It's definitely more it's more substantial and more filling than the cinnamon rolls from the can.
Right. Or the cinnamon rolls you get from the grocery store.
Right.
Yeah. It's much, much more substantial. Not as bad for you. So yeah, they were really good. They were really good. They went quickly. They did not stick around.
Yeah. I made a dozen rolls and we had 6 of them
six for breakfast and 6 for dessert. Yes.
That was pretty much it. Yes.
And 6 and 6 because Lucy couldn't have one. So she had her own, but she had one of her pops for dessert, her fruit juice pops.
Oh yeah. She loves the lime flavored, popsicles.
They're like sorbet popsicles.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't remember what she had for morning. I think she had like a muffin.
Right.
Oh, wait, maybe she had the muffin with frosting. I think that might have been it.
So I'm taking a second here because I have to prove Benedict for more screen time on his iPhone listening to music. That was something else we did this week, was we set Ben up. We've had Apple Music, but it's been just me, and then we had a music library of all our RIP stuff. But Ben has been listening. He really likes the music from The Mandalorian. He says he finds it soothing. So,
right.
So we got an...
It is pretty soothing.
I finally figured, you know what? Apple Music family plan. It's time for that. Like, I didn't think I would be doing that, but I think it's time to finally do that. And so I got an Apple Music family plan. I put the Mandalorian theme music from all four. It's really cool. They're doing... every episode has its own album.
A little soundtrack.
Yeah, like of 6 or 7 or 8 tracks. And so I've been putting them on his iPhone, and he listens to it at night to relax as he prepares for bed, which I think is awesome. Anyway, so that was what that interruption was. So that was St. Nicholas Day. And then Saturday and Sunday, we had scouting for food. Now, if you're a scouting family, you know what that is, but I'll explain this for the non-scouting families. The Boy Scouts of America has a tradition that they've done for a while now of collecting food from towns, from neighborhoods, from the community to give to a food pantry of some sort. And so our PAC 56 here in Holbrook has been doing this for a while, apparently. And we've participated in the last couple of years where on one weekend in the fall, although we're doing it a little late this year in December, but usually it's in November. We on Saturday, we go out into the neighborhoods and they have these door hangers, these things, and we put them on all the doors of all the houses. The kids do it. We send the kids out. And then on Sunday, we come back and we pick up bags of food that people leave out to donate. And so last year we ended up, because someone else got to the staging area first, we didn't get our own neighborhood. We had to get like neighborhoods like nearby.
Right.
Which was a little awkward because then
it was kind of strange because like other kids were coming to our house to collect food and we were going to other people's houses.
Yeah. So this year, though, we got our neighborhood and we actually got a lot more this time, a lot more streets and houses than we did last time.
Yeah.
I think it was probably somewhere around 100 doors.
That's a lot of doors.
It's a lot. I mean, that's one of the things that's interesting. You'd be surprised at the density of these neighborhoods that this, like we live in. I mean, this is a standard post-World War II subdivision. You know, it's and not as dense as some I've seen, like some of the Phoenix area ones where they put them up like neighborhood after neighborhood. I mean, so it's not as dense, but it's fairly densely populated, you know, area. Anyway, because it was our neighborhood, I didn't feel the need to drive the kids around.
Well, yeah, because they are used to wandering around the neighborhood. I mean, we Lucy and Anthony have to have a bigger kid with them, but Isabella and Sophia and Ben we trust to go around the block
and to keep track of them and make sure they don't step out into the they let the little kids step out and they're not crossing any major roads. So they went around because we live in a circle. They went around and they hit all the houses and in the neighborhood. Yesterday it took them maybe an hour and a half a couple hours.
It's like 2 hours.
Like 2 hours to hit them all. All five of them went out doing it, which was nice.
Yeah, and they did a girls team and a boys team, I think.
Oh yes, we took different sides of the street. Boys on one side of the street, girls on the other side of the street, and taking turns putting on each door. Then today, after mass, we came home. We got some Dunkin' Donuts because it wasn't time to make pancakes after mass because we had to go out. Because the pickup was at 11. That's what people were told was have the stuff outside by 11. So we went and did our neighborhood. And not everybody takes part. You know, I think most troops and packs, they do it. They put the cards out 1 week and pick up the next week. So people have time to go buy stuff to put out.
Because this is kind of like... You've got less than 24 hours notice, so right. Whatever you've got in your pantry.
Right, unless you're making a special trip to the store, which most people aren't. It's whatever you got in your pantry. So, but nevertheless, you know, we go out and it doesn't feel like we're picking up a lot, like there's a lot of houses where there's nothing out there. But when, you know, at the end of the circle, it's like, wow, the van is full of bags. So the way we did it is I drove the van. And we would drive very slowly up the street. And when we'd see like something hanging from the door, or we see a package on the step, like a bag, one of the kids would run up and check it. And we the instructions are to put the door hanger back on the bag or on a box if you use a box or something like that. So we know that's what it is. And I'm thinking, people must think we're porch pirates. They were stealing Amazon packages. Last year, some guy thought I was an Amazon delivery guy.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
The guy came out, he's like, what? I'm like, what? He's like, oh, no, we're doing the scouting for food thing. Oh, okay. So we got a lot of stuff from our neighborhood. It was pretty good. Then we took, although they were driving me crazy. Because, you know, when you drive around, you can't make a perfect, you can't do the neighborhood without having to turn around and come back up a street. You know what I mean? There's no like one loop, one path that works that you only ever have to cross one intersection once. You know that? So I'm like, I drive by a street like, where's that street? I'm like, I know. I know. We have to come back to that. We have to go over here first.
Yeah, not since they don't drive.
They don't drive. They don't understand. Yeah. I'm coming back. I'm coming back to that. I have to drive around. So we picked up all this stuff, and then everything goes to the church where we meet, the church basement. They have it all staged up. They have all the tables for sorting things, and people are going to be taking that. So we brought our stuff in, and then we marked off that we picked up from our neighborhood. And then Dan, the Cubmaster, says, by the way, can you guys hit this neighborhood too? Pick up from over here?
So somebody got sick or something?
No, well, Adam, you know Adam.
Uh-huh.
Adam is like scout, uber scout.
Uh-huh.
He is Mr. Gung Ho. And he went out and put out like 1,000 door hangers yesterday. Like I think he hit like the entire town.
He needed help to pick up all the stuff.
Right. It's putting out is easy, but picking up, it's faster picking up in one sense because you don't have to hit every house. You know, the houses that have the bag.
But you have to look at every house.
But also, you don't have room. Like, we have the big van. It's easier for us to carry a lot of stuff. We could carry a lot more stuff than most people can. So I'm like, sure. And it was the neighborhood that's on the other end of town next to Brockton. Like, all that stuff past the Shell station we had to hit.
Uh-huh.
So it was a good section of town.
Yeah, the kids were telling me. I stayed home while they were picking up the food.
Mm.
Well, because the kids are supposed to be the ones picking it up. So basically I would just be sitting in the car, like keeping you company, I guess.
Yeah.
Anyway, I made muffins again. More muffins. More chocolate muffins this time.
Yes.
And I cleaned mold. It was really exciting.
Oh, that's a whole nother tale to tell. We can tell that later. Yes, the mold. So what we had to do is we had the kids looking out the doors, the windows either side as we drove down these streets. Looking at the places, and it was a lot of places. And by the, I have to say, they would jump out of the van and run around the front. And I had to keep telling them, when you get to the front of the van, look left, like look down the van for oncoming cars.
Right.
Okay,
I'm not sure I want to hear this because, like, now you're scaring me.
They eventually started getting it. Then I'm like, because there's one of them. I won't say who. One of them who I had to keep telling, look before you go.
I can guess.
Yeah. And then I'm like, okay, no, look left first, then right. Don't look right and then left.
Oh, yes.
So, but they got it. And Lucy, she so wanted to go. Now, technically, kids Lucy's age are not supposed to be doing the picking up or the delivery, hanging the hangers. But she always went with another kid, like someone else went with her, and she only did the ones on the right side of the road where the van was.
Right.
Okay. So, and there were a lot of one-way streets down there, by the way. Mm-hmm. And I've got this huge van, and I'm like backing into driveways and trying to turn around in these little streets, and I'm like, this is driving me crazy. Can we just be done with this? But the van was full. We filled up all. It's a good thing you didn't come because we filled the whole front passenger side, the main body of the van, and the back.
Wow.
We had a lot of stuff.
That's awesome.
So there was a lot of food. Now, the sad thing is, and then we get back to when the kids wanted to stay and help sort for a while. The sad thing is they have to first go through and get rid of anything that's expired. There was shopping cart after shopping cart. They had a shopping cart there of stuff they had to throw away.
That's really sad.
I mean, people are clearing out their pantries. The stuff in there was 3, 4, 5 years expired. It was, I think I saw something that was dated 2014. And I'm not criticizing. I mean, hey, we've got stuff in the fridge that's older than our marriage. So right. It's hard to criticize that.
And honestly, technically, it's probably still edible.
There was a lot of stuff there that was like still, it was expired this month or last month. That's, like stuff I would totally say that's fine.
We would eat it, but yeah. You can't, but there are stricter standards for food pantries and they yeah. can't.
I was that out. I was tempted to go, let's put that in this bag over here. Come here, just put this bag in the car. Come on. I almost turned into my dad.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, it was kind of sad, but there was a lot of stuff. And so so Sophie couldn't deal with the crowd. So Sophie and I sat in the car for a while, which was fine. We kind of chatted. There was too much crowd. So Bella and Ben and Anthony and Lucy were helping out. They helped for about a half hour. And Ben and Bella and Sophie were doing the checking of the expiration
Ben and Bella
dates.
And Lucy?
Ben and Bella and Anthony were doing the checking of the expiration dates. And Lucy was with the other kids. They had a lot of the little kids doing the sorting because little kids love sorting.
Oh, yeah.
So there's a ring of tables, like a big, you know, square. And they would bring the food into the middle. And then these kids would run from the middle out to the edges and put things in their places on the table.
Yeah, they're very good at that.
Oh, Lucy was in her glory. She just loved, just like, dressing room there, and cans of soup over there, and this is over there, and she was just having a blast, though. So.
Yeah, when you sent me a text saying that they really wanted to stay in sort, I was like, they wanted to stay in sort? I'm thinking, well, they were, you know, encouraged because you really need to help out. You need
to stay in sort.
This is funny.
Where are they when you come home with the groceries from the grocery store? They disappear like that. Like, where'd you go? Put the groceries away.
Actually, they've been better recently about putting away groceries.
All right. Not as excited, I think, but
it's not as exciting when it's your own pantry.
Yeah. So, so that was good. It was interesting online, the town Facebook group is a key aspect of this. We have a small town, and so the town Facebook group is the social place for people. But people posting how, I put the stuff out, nobody came to get it. Why didn't anybody come to hit my neighborhood? This and that. And it's like, okay, folks, it's a bunch of kids, and it's all volunteer, and we have only so many people. We're doing our best to get where we can go with the stuff, so if you could bring it down, that would be great. If not, you know, we'll try to get someone out there. And, you know, it's just like, please be patient. we're doing our best. It's like, I mean, and plus some of these houses, you don't know where the door is, that's the entrance where they're going to put it. And, you know, you drive by, you don't see it. They hide it. You know, it's like, no, put it right out in the open where I'm going to see it.
Yeah.
People don't think about how they should.
It seems obvious to them. It's not quite so obvious to a kid in a car driving by.
Right. This is Dom Bettinelli, CEO of SQPN, with a special message. The StarQuest Network is fulfilling its mission to explore the intersection of faith and pop culture. And in the past year, we've reached stunning new heights. Our programs are reaching broad new audiences with a message that helps us discern good entertainment, make sense of the world, and share the gospel with others. We continue to launch new shows and bring back great shows. We just relaunched Secrets of Star Wars, which comes at the perfect moment to capture the excitement over the new show, The Mandalorian, and the climax of the new Star Wars movies. The support of our audience is vital to this work and has helped us grow closer to meeting our financial obligations. For that, we are very grateful. But we still need to close the gap. Every new gift extends our deadline, but until we eliminate our deficits, the future of StarQuest and your favorite shows remain in question. This is why it's crucial we hear from you this Advent and Christmas, the time when nonprofits receive most of their support for the year. If you're already a supporter of StarQuest, we are very grateful, and we ask you to prayerfully consider increasing your support at this time. If you are not yet a supporter, please become one now. We urgently need your help and every gift counts. Could you give $15 or even just $10 per month? That lets us provide more than 40 hours of professionally produced shows with compelling content. We have special thank you gifts for donors at several giving levels. If you are a business owner or just want to provide a leadership level of support, we now have a special giving level for sponsors, like in public broadcasting. For $500 per month, you or your business can sponsor one of of the shows on our network. Listeners will hear a message in every episode thanking you for your sponsorship and giving your website. We'll also have your name and link on the SQPN webpage and in the show notes of every episode during your sponsorship. Whatever level of support you can offer, whether large or small, please show your support for SQPN this Christmas, and remember that your gifts are tax deductible. Just go to SQPN.com/give. That's SQPN.com/give. And may God bless you and yours as we approach the celebration of our Lord's birth. All right. So that was Scouting for Food. That was fun. And we came back after that and hung out for today until the very bad football game, which we won't talk about.
We watched a couple of episodes of Star Wars cartoons.
Yes, Star Wars Rebels and Star Wars Clone Wars. We had a bit of a issue. Poor Lucy. We watched Star Wars Rebels a couple weeks ago, and she had some nightmares about one of the characters.
I'm not even sure if she actually had nightmares or she was afraid she was going to have nightmares.
There's this distinction to be made there.
I've never actually been 100% clear on whether or not the nightmares were actually happening or she was just kind of like in bed, lying in bed, afraid of falling asleep because she was afraid she might have bad dreams.
I mean, the Inquisitor is kind of a scary looking dude.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
So, yes, she decided that she did not actually want to watch anything today. And I'm not sure how much of it was. She said that she just wanted to play with Legos and do other things. But she spent the entire time that everybody else was watching kind of hanging out outside the door.
And then she didn't want them to spoil it for her, even though she didn't want to watch it. And they warned her ahead of time, like, if you don't watch it, when are you going to be able to watch these? You're not going to be able to watch these again. And so she, and then at dinner time, they all wanted to talk about the shows, and she got upset because they were rooting for it. It's difficult for them because they just want to talk about it. Yeah. This is the difficulties of all being Star Wars fans in the one household.
Anyway,
wait till I ruin Star Wars: Rise of Skywalker after I see it.
No,
I'm gonna come back and talk all about it. I'm gonna go see it before they do, of course, just to double check it. I mean, it's not like I'm gonna come back and go, I'm sorry, I don't think it's appropriate for you guys. You see a mutiny.
That would be like the worst.
That would be the worst thing ever. All right. So one of the things that came up during our snow day was did we happen to have a gallon of apple cider in there? Was that a coincidence or was it a plan?
Oh, no. I bought it because I wanted, I actually bought it and we drank it the day I came home because there was no room in the refrigerator for the gallon of apple cider. So
right.
I bought the gallon of apple cider, came home, glugged it into a pot. Remember, because I went out on the day
right.
you had to clear the driveway.
That's
so
right.
I said, woohoo, it's a snow day. I'm buying apple cider. We're going to all have hot cider.
Right. Yeah. So most people have hot chocolate. Which we actually did do.
But the thing is, a hot chocolate for everyone is like half a gallon of milk.
It's
right
a lot
there.
Of milk, yeah.
So I have to like buy extra milk in order for us to have hot chocolate.
Right.
Or else we just run out and we don't have hot chocolate we don't have milk for cereal or whatever.
Right. So we had the cider, but you put it on the pot on the stove with some cinnamon stick and.
But I sliced up a clementine and threw that in there and some cinnamon sticks. It was not fancy.
But you were saying, like, you wish it didn't have to go all the way to the grocery store to get cider. Like, I kind of wish they had cider at, like, the corner store, the convenience, at the pharmacy, because our corner store is closed for renovations. We end up going to the Walgreens down the street for our milk. But it would be nice, it would be really cool if Walgreens, not in addition to milk and eggs and ice, also stocked gallons of cider.
Yeah, I've noticed that CVS actually does have eggnog, but not cider. But the teeny tiny thing, like a single serving of eggnog, or maybe two people could share it, eggnog, and that doesn't...
It might be time for me to start making eggnog, it's the Alton Brown recipe.
Yes.
Mm.
I would not object
to it. I know eggnog. You don't object to it.
The only problem with it, eggnog, really, is it goes too fast because you can only nurse it for so long and then it's gone.
Yeah.
And you want more.
Well, Alton Brown has this whole aged cider thing.
I don't have the patience for that.
Yes. Well, he makes it like in...
You mean aged eggnog, right? Not aged cider.
Sorry, aged cider. Aged eggnog. Oh my gosh. What is wrong with my mouth today? Aged eggnog and like people aging it for like months and months.
Who Who does that?
Apparently some people have done it. It's wild. I mean, who's got the space for it? But yeah,
I don't know.
Somebody's got the space for it.
It's good enough fresh. For
yes,
me.
It is. It is.
In fact,
good
even the grocery store stuff doesn't really taste like homemade, but that's good enough for me too.
Yeah.
Especially if you add like some glugs of like rum or amaretto or.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, another one of those products where the homemade version and the store bought version have the same name, but aren't really at all alike.
But they're both good.
Although I could drink a lot more homemade eggnog than I can of the store bought. The store bought stuff I can only drink a limited amount.
Well,
it's way too rich for me to drink more than like a small cup.
I don't have that problem.
I guess not.
it is richer, but yeah. I don't think I've hit the point where I'm like, I mean, I hit the point where I'm like, I suppose I can stop now, but like I can't drink anymore. I don't understand what that means. I really don't.
So one of the things I want to throw out to the listeners that I'd love to hear back from you is your opinion. Last week was the week after Thanksgiving. Okay. It was the first week of December. Thanksgiving was just before. And I had a craving for turkey. I wanted to make another turkey right away. But part of it was because we had our 12-pound turkey went like nothing. It was like, boom, we had turkey dinner. We had like 2 days and then the leftovers were gone. So, I mean, that's part of it. If we had a big turkey to begin with, but I kind of wanted to have another turkey.
And by the time I got to the store, because I did not feel like going out to the store on Friday or Saturday or Sunday, but by Monday, there were no turkeys left at the grocery store, except like the ones that cost like $30. And I'm not spending $30 on a turkey.
No, no. Like the cheap ones that they were just clearing out.
Those go fast.
Yeah. I wonder if they'll have turkeys again for Christmas.
They might.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't mind even just getting one, throwing one in the freezer or whatever. Because I don't know. We haven't even talked about what we're having for Christmas yet. But
Christmas is always the hardest holiday. Like, well,
we know what we're having Christmas Eve.
Well, yeah, Christmas Eve is fish, our fish feast.
It's lobster.
Yeah, pretty much.
It's the seven fishes, but one of those is lobster.
But I don't feel like I'm committed to a particular meal for Christmas Day. I want something fancy, but just nothing ever quite hits the spot. Like, there's a sweet spot that I'm just missing. I don't know what it is.
The trick with Christmas, which is different from Thanksgiving, is Christmas you get up, you open presents. We go to midnight mass, so that takes care of that. But even like you've got a limited time for the cooking. Not like with Thanksgiving, you get up and you get that burr right in the oven. You know, I mean, boom, first thing, 6 o'clock in the morning. And you get time to make sides because you don't have anything else really going on Thanksgiving morning. But Christmas morning, you got presents, you're hanging around. Yeah, so you got to figure something out that you can put in a little later that doesn't require as much attention.
Yeah. I'm almost tempted to slide towards like the more smorgasbord, like, you know, make a loaf of bread and maybe make like something like sort of a light main dish, but then like have lots of cheese and crackers and, you know, maybe.
See, I was thinking something that you can make ahead of time, like a lasagna or a casserole of some sort.
Lasagna is good.
That you could put in the fridge a couple of days in advance and then slide in.
Right. Well, of course the problem is like
fridge space. Well, no more room to say than a turkey.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, it's
of course. Then we would run into the lasagna debate, which is
no. There is recipe? No debate.
What recipe do we use?
No. There is no debate. There is just lasagna the right way. There may be some room for some compromises. I may allow sautéed mushrooms, fresh mushrooms that are sautéed. Maybe porcini could go for that. No spinach or carrots.
Ugh. No carrots. No carrots is wrong.
That's just wrong. But no spinach.
I
can't get the answer to that on Apple Watch.
So is the watch wanted to know whether I said no spinach, carrots, and it can't get the answer. So there's no clear answer on this, but there is. The answer is no spinach, no carrots, and lasagna.
Whatever. As long as I can have a meat sauce. I don't like vegetarian lasagna. I don't like meatless lasagna.
I could go with meat in the lasagna. In fact, as long as it's not just ground beef, perhaps like a sausage or a mix, like if we made a mix of ground pork and ground, ground beef.
I grew up with ground beef in the tomato sauce.
Yeah.
And then in the cheese filling, chopped up salami. I love that salami flavor. I don't know, the hard salami chopped up, like the slices of salami.
Yeah.
Chopped fine.
It's a little odd.
Yeah, but it's good.
I've had it. The texture just catches me by surprise a little bit. But maybe if it was chopped into little cubes, like a mince.
Hmm.
Or a dice. Yeah, a dice, not a mince. I think it would be fine. I guess, the salami would be okay. The right kind of salami. Maybe go for like a nice, high-quality one.
Hmm.
That would be interesting. Okay, so, well, to be continued, we may end up having ham.
You know, ham is always a good option.
Ham is always good. All right, so let's move on, because time is passing, and I want to talk about the finale of Man in the High Castle. I don't want to do any spoilers in case other people have not watched it. Man in the High Castle is an Amazon streaming series. It was started in 2015, and its fourth or fifth season, I forget, just ended, and it was the end of the series. It's based on a Philip K. Dick novel, which, like most movies or TV shows based on Philip K. Dick novels, they start at the same premise but are not at all like the rest of it. Apparently, Philip K. Dick was really good at writing ideas, but not actually writing out the stories.
Yeah. That's my experience, at least.
Like Blade Runner and Do Androids Dream of Electric Sheep? Which were very different things.
That's one of those where I really liked the movie a lot better than the book.
Right.
Now, I've only seen like maybe 3 or 4 episodes of Man in the High Castle, just like hanging out while you are watching it. So right. I can't really speak
The premise is it's an alternate history in which, in fact, it turns out it's an alternate universe. So that's the idea that history in a multiverse, history, every possible outcome happens in some universe. Anyway, in Man in the High Castle, it posits that the Germans during World War II got the bomb before we did and thus won the war, and the Japanese and the Germans, Nazi Germany, divided North America between them.
So did they actually drop the bomb?
Yes.
On
DC.
They dropped the bomb on DC.
Yes. There's an atomic bomb dropped on Washington,
oh,
DC.
Oh, man.
Yeah. And then, and then things quickly went. I want to find somewhere where they outline what actually happened, because they hint at events like it was Patton who surrendered at West Point, signed the documents of surrender, and to
the Germans.
To the Germans, yeah. And they ended up rounding up the Nazis. Ended up rounding up all the Jews, the black people,
of course.
Yeah, and sending them to camps. And that's actually a key element in the story. And then a lot of Americans, especially American military, were given a choice to join the Reich or die or be killed. And so they, you know, many of them joined. And so the American Reich is run by Americans, but it's part of the Nazi Reich and run under Reich ideas and that sort of things. And meanwhile, on the West Coast, the Japanese Pacific states are run under Japanese control, under the Japanese principles. The Japanese run things, and all of the Americans are second class citizens, and kind of like how the Japanese ran things in China when they controlled that. So it was, you get an idea. So I don't want to go through the whole premise, but the ending was sort of ambiguous. And this is one of the things like with a lot of TV shows, why is it so hard to end TV series? Like movies, there are plenty of movies that have a complete story that end and it's like, okay, that was interesting. That was good. And there are movies that don't, but there are movies that do. There are books, plenty of books. I read the books and it's like, oh, that was a good book. It had a satisfying ending. But so many TV series that go on for several years and then they have, you know, some series are just canceled and you never know what happens. But series that are supposed to be complete stories, they end in these ambiguous ways, and you're like, why do you leave it ambiguous? Just tell the story at the end, everything's satisfactory, I feel good about it. Like, even like shows I really like Star Trek Deep Space Nine had this ambiguous ending. What ended up happening to Captain Sisko? Where does he go? Does he ever come back from the prophets? You know, I mean, Lost is sort of the prototype for this, like the everybody hated the ending sort of thing. Although you and I liked it.
I kind of
liked
the ending.
Yeah, you and I liked it. But the in fact, I read that the producers of Man in the High Castle specifically said that they left it specifically ambiguous on purpose so that people could draw their own conclusion.
You know, sometimes I like the ambiguous ending, honestly, like in books. I can't speak to the Man in the High Castle, but
right.
I'm one of those people who kind of likes the ambiguity.
There's ambiguous, and then there's what happened? Like, there's the ambiguity of what happens next. Where do these characters go? I get that. The ambiguity I don't like is what just happened? The end. Like, what's going on? I'm not quite sure what this means. That
might drive me crazy.
Now, that said, I really enjoyed the season. In fact, the series. In fact, this season was better than the last season. The last season, I almost gave up on the show. I was getting frustrated. This season had resolution. It had definitive things happening. It had definitive things to say. Of course, some contemporary political stuff always ends up in these things because some people think that we're living in the equivalent of Nazi Germany, which is insane if you know history at all. But okay, that's whatever. It didn't hurt my enjoyment of the show. So that said, yeah, it was a little frustrating. So I don't know if other people have seen the whole season, have seen the series, and what they think. I'd love to hear from other people who have an opinion on that. And then let's wrap up with just a little talk about today's feast day. Today's feast day, that is not today's feast day, but it's tomorrow's feast day, but it's not a holy day of obligation because it's the feast is moved. And that is, today's December 8th as we record this, and it's the Feast of the Immaculate Conception, or would be if it were not the second Sunday of Advent.
Right.
And this year the feast is on December 9th, which is Monday. Do you remember a few years ago that it was also on a Monday, the Immaculate Conception?
I don't remember.
I'm trying to remember. There was a whole thing, and there was somebody was saying, our parish, our old parish, had a notice that if you went to Sunday Mass Sunday evening, for this would be the second Sunday of Advent, it would satisfy your obligation for both Sunday and Monday, for Sunday and the holy day. And I objected, saying, no, you can't get a twofer. Like, it's either for one or for the other. And I was corrected. No, it does count. It is, if the Mass occurs after sundown, it is applicable through the following day, but it is also a Sunday Mass. So you can get a twofer. But because it's not being... Oh, that's what it was. It was December 8th was on the Monday. So it wasn't that the feast was being moved. So I'm sorry, long story short, because the feast and the second Sunday of Advent conflict, the feast is moved to Monday, but it's not a holy day of obligation.
You've just confused the heck out of me.
Sorry, I think it probably confused everyone. So last time it was that December 8th was Monday.
No, I thought it was that December 8th was Saturday. I think that you're confused.
Oh, I'm confused. Okay. So yeah, what it was. So it was one of these things where December 8th was the day before or the day after, but it was like, it wasn't that the feast was being moved. It's just that the feast fell right next to a Sunday. In this case, the feast fell on a Sunday. And so the celebration of the feast, because it's the patronal feast of the United States and we can't miss it, has to be moved to Monday. We have to celebrate it, but we just celebrate it a day late.
But we're not celebrating it because, if you went to Mass on tomorrow, you would.
Right. Well, the church as a whole is celebrating it on right. Monday, but it is not a holy day of obligation. That was something I was trying to casually figure out all along. I mean, it would be nice to go to Mass anyway, but I don't think I can because I get the podcasts to record. But, yeah, I mean, you could go if you wanted to rouse the kids and get them out. But it is the Feast of Our Lady.
Well, the trick is, because it's not a holy day of obligation,
getting to a Mass,
nobody's doing a special Mass.
Right.
I don't even know. Like, I think our parish does like a 6:45 in the morning.
Right.
Daily
That's
Mass.
Right.
I don't think
yeah, you're not
we're making a 6:45.
Yeah. I mean, there's the pastoral center at noon, but it's that's a crazy town over by the mall during Christmas. Even on even on a Monday, it's a crazy town during at noon. So yeah, that's not going to work. Anyway, just that I'd mention. It is I mean, by the time you listen to this, it will be Tuesday, so it doesn't really matter. But I just thought it was an interesting quirk of the way it works, which is that the feast is celebrated on the next day, but the obligation doesn't get moved to. So it was kind of weird. These whole obligation things, it just is weird. I mean, especially given how the obligations have been watered down in recent years. So I just thought it would be interesting to mention. Anything else we should talk about in relation to Advent? I did want to talk about how decorating for Advent, for Christmas, is happening, mostly due to the 13-year-old.
You know, I remember when I was that age, I really loved, like, getting out all the decorations and doing all this stuff. And it's kind of fun to see Isabella doing the same thing.
Yes.
I was reminiscing yesterday, actually, about, like, my favorite decorations when I was their age and the things that I liked to do. Now, I'm just tired. I'm glad that somebody else is having fun doing it.
Yeah.
If it's up to me, well...
Different. It's so funny to see different personalities at work too. Like, some people really get into decorating, like for Christmas. My friends Mac and Catherine Barron of the Catholic in a Small Town podcast. So Catherine posted a picture on her Instagram of her living room decorated like a magazine cover. It's gorgeous. It's amazing.
If we had a bigger house with more space and it wasn't so cluttered.
Right.
I would probably be more excited about decorating, but I feel like I'm overwhelmed with just the house.
Well, we have to clear the junk out before we get the funny thing about it was, she's like, oh, finally got the living room decorated for Christmas. Hashtag procrastination.
Procrastination?
Second
Sunday of Advent. I don't understand.
Well,
that.
It's just different personalities, and that's right. What's so great. I was like, hey, I love it. I mean, I love Christmas decorations, but like you said, it's just such a different thing for you and for me than for other people.
I remember the first year that we were in this house, we actually moved in at the beginning of November.
Yeah,
and we had not even finished unpacking.
When
Advent came around, and I remember being like very sad because I wanted decorations, like the first house that we owned, and I wanted decorations, but I was just newly pregnant in the first trimester and like wanting to barf all over the place. And I just did not have the energy or the time or the resources to decorate. And I think we finally did get a few things up.
Yeah.
And Christmas did come, but it was one of those like sort of tooth and nail.
Right. So
different years, I feel differently about decorating. Well,
and again, all of Catherine's kids are older than ours. Like I think their youngest is the age of our oldest. So it's a different time.
One thing I've learned over the years is that there are seasons. There are seasons to these things, and this year is not a year in which I'm going gung-ho over decorating and stuff, but that may change.
But we're not stressed about it. And that's the important thing.
Right.
Is
I'm not at all stressed.
Don't be stressed about Advent and Christmas. I mean, it's a joyful time of year. I mean, you do whatever you do. I mean, and be however you are. That's the person you are. And I'm not going to judge someone for if they are stressed. That's between you and God. But we're pretty laid back about things, and we don't really stress. I mean, we get a little stressed about things, but you know, have to do shopping and all that sort of stuff. But,
shopping, yes,
yeah, that's stressful. But even then, we're sort of laid back about, you know, how much to buy and you know, oh, what, who, all the people we have to buy for. We're very, very limited in that. We don't worry too much about it. And put things in the, I mean, if anything, it's the food is the centerpiece of the season for me anyway. It's,
yeah, yeah.
You know, the getting together for meals with family. That's my favorite part of it is getting together with everyone. So, we do have to have an office Christmas party at some point though. You know what you think?
Office Christmas
party. Yeah, well, we're in the office and I'm the only one here. I'll be having a party even to buy bottle of bourbon or something. I don't know. We'll have to figure something out. Maybe I'll have a virtual office party with the other folks from SQPN.
That would be fun.
And live stream it. Wouldn't that be fun?
Maybe.
Maybe folks let us know if that's something you'd like to see. That could be very interesting. Anyway, we should wrap this up because I'm starting to get silly.
Yes.
So we do want to, as we finish out, you will have heard a message in this about our end of year giving campaign for SQPN. We do appreciate the financial support provided by you, our patrons, and we greatly appreciate it. And if you're not yet a patron, we'd kindly ask you to consider becoming one because that supports the network. But in when we say the network, it also supports me and my salary and my family so that I can do this as a job because it's a full-time job to produce all of these shows and to market them and to organize everyone and to take care of all that. So that said, I do want to take a moment to thank our patrons who make it possible for us to create Raising the Bets and all the shows at StarQuest, including Stan S., Thomas M., Ninth Hour Design, Alfredo B., and Joe T. Their generous donations at sqpn.com/give make it possible for us to continue Raising the Bets and all the shows at StarQuest. You can join them by visiting sqpn.com/give. If you have something you want to contribute to the discussion or something you would like to say in response to anything that we said, you can comment at sqpn.com/bets. That's BETTS. Or the SQPN Facebook page, facebook.com/StarQuestMedia. Or send an email to bets@sqpn.com. Relevant links, if there are any, from our discussion are in our show notes on sqpn.com. If you can, we greatly appreciate it if you'd write a review of the podcast at Apple Podcasts or anywhere else you see podcasts listed that you can write a review. And to share the podcast with your friends to help us grow this wonderful community of listeners and to help us reach more people. We'd greatly appreciate that. Until next time, I'm Dom Bettinelli.
And I'm Melanie Bettinelli.
Thank you for listening to Raising the Bets on StarQuest.